Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schrankelberg and Adam Barrett. Welcome. I'm glad you're able to join me again today.
Yeah, how you doing, Fred?
Oh, pretty good. One of the things we've talked about a couple of times is the culture of an organization.
It's definitely a topic that seems to come up often. It's one of those things that I find fascinating and to be such a critical part of all these great tools we talk about actually getting implemented successfully.
And it's as a short definition, it's the difference between what you know you should do, whether you're an engineering manager or an engineer or a reliability professional or organization, is things that you think or know should be done versus what actually gets done and how decisions are actually made. And so we're defining that as the culture. It's the culture is how people make decisions in a quick summary. Is that a fair way to summarize it? I know we've spent hours talking about it one way or the other.
Yeah, that's that is a very fundamental part of it. And it's also the kind of the woven fabric of all the mechanisms that, you know, things happen within. And exactly between those two things, you have your culture.
Yeah. And so I know that I've gotten a call a couple of times where they say, hey, you know, we got a reliability program. We know we have things we do and tests we run and activities we conduct pretty much every time or most times. And we suspect we could be better. And they've asked me to, as a consultant, to come in and assess their program and look for the strengths, weaknesses, and, you know, the areas for improvement, to be more proactive, to capitalize on their strengths, you know, the various things like that. And I've done it enough times that there's a basic set of activities before you do an assessment. It's kind of get lined up or get organized so that when you start asking questions and you start collecting data and looking around an organization, you can make sense of it in one form or another. And I'm sure, Adam, you've gone into organizations with either conducting an assessment or basically just understanding how they do things. But it's not as simple as just walking in the lobby and asking questions.
No, it's not. It's the beginning of the investigation. You know, with the assessment, you're mm-hmm. assessing, and you know, which hopefully will ultimately lead to recommendations by taking that assessment and their goals and putting it against this, you know, very clearly structured set of metrics. And yeah, that whole assessment part, that's everything, because that's the input to the computation that has an output. And it can be done right, or, you know, where you capture the information that's needed. But I've also seen situations where, you know, the information that you're working with to try to figure out what's going on, it's not there.
Yeah, that's very true. And one of the things I found is that very few individuals, if any, within an organization have a good understanding of their entire reliability program. I think there's been just one or two organizations where there's been a handful of people that really got it across their organization. But what I see more often is the silos. And we've talked about that before, is where there's the engineering silo, manufacturing silo. It's kind of cliche, but there's also marketing and the supply chain folks. And each area has their own different focus. And what I've seen in organizations very common is the design engineer, the electrical engineer, say, laying out a circuit board, knows that the contract manufacturing and the circuit board manufacturer does some design for reliability something, and they may want to change a few things, but that's what they do. We don't do that. And the supply chain guys, well, if we have a problem, we'll ask them to get involved. But other than that, they don't do anything on reliability. And so that maybe an engineering manager has a focus on getting the design together and getting the functionality together, and be aware of other activities in the organization that they bump into on occasion. But they don't really know what a supply chain engineer does or what the contract manufacturer's engineering team is really doing when they assess their boards or and so on. And so by conducting an assessment, it's often the first time an organization has a clear picture of all of the moving parts that it takes to create their product and how why it achieves a particular reliability.
Yeah, that's actually that's really interesting, right? Because that's this kind of interesting, extremely valuable, side effect of it. Where I mean, I remember participating in one where everybody was absolutely shocked in the technical organization to find out what the executives were thinking, what they thought was valuable, what was important, and what should be changed. And mm-hmm. the discrepancy that they all realized they had really popped eyes.
And I remember one time I sent a summary of the assessment back, and this is getting ahead of what we wanted to talk about today, but she called me back almost immediately and says, "How do you know so much about our organization? You were only here a day." And it's by looking deliberately across the organization. So that's what I wanted to highlight today a little bit, is how do you get ready for an assessment? Now, if you've ever been in an audit, there's some organizations spend a lot of time preparing for an audit, doing self-assessments or self-audits and getting ready for the auditors to show up, whether they're coming from corporate or some certification organization or whatever. Well, an assessment's really not like an audit. It's not checking that things are consistent. It's not looking for, are you following your own procedures, that kind of stuff. Because reliability, it doesn't have a fixed set of procedures. Every development program is different. And it should be. The reliability program should adapt to each particular circumstance. And so the assessment is really looking at, to a large extent, it comes down to what extent do you do X, and fill in the blank. It's setting reliability goals or conducting halt testing, doing finite element analysis that carries over into reliability programs, accelerated testing, on down the list of all of the various tools and activities we have. But then very quickly, that question gets turned into, well, how does that change anything? So if somebody says, we always do halt, and you say, to what extent do you do it? And they say 100%, every program, every prototype we do halt. Okay, how does that change anything? How is that connected to anything? You try to weave that into a discussion. And they say, oh, we're mandated to do it. And they always overstress it and make it fail. So we ignore that. It's not relevant. Or they say, we get, 8 to 10 invaluable insights into how our product can be more robust. Completely different response to that set of questions.
So what's interesting though, is you said prepare, how do you prepare for an audit? And who were you talking about? Were you talking about the auditor, or are you talking about the company?
Well, it's usually like the quality manager would be in a tizzy the week before an audit, trying to make sure all the files are labeled correctly and all the details are organized right. Correctly and so on. The auditor also does some preparation. The person actually conducting it, they do some homework. They understand what the business is about. They understand what procedures they're supposed to be using. They may get some documentation prior to know what they're looking for, things like that.
But I think one thing to consider here, though, before we go farther, is that there's the difference between an auditor and an assessor. And I think that that's why I wanted to get on the word prepare, because the auditor is effectively a part of a process of seeing if things fit a checkbox, right? Does it satisfy this criteria?
Right.
So it makes sense that people would want to prepare for that because you want to pass all these tests. An assessor is coming in to evaluate it in its natural state. How does it really function? Like you just described with the hall testing. Mm-hmm. They're doing hall testing. They can check the box, but how are they really doing it? How is it really affecting the design? So I would say for this, you really do not want any actual preparation on the side of the organization, because preparation just means that you're taking it and you're prettying it up, you're formatting it, you're whatever, you know.
Putting lipstick on it, yeah.
Exactly. Well, I mean, you know, you want to come in and see what it looks like day to day, because that's the truth. And if the more accurately the person doing the assessment sees the truth, the more accurate they can give a correct, you know, prescription on how to get to the place they want to be. So I kind of feel like that's an important mm-hmm. thing to identify up front, is that do you want to almost, you know, to advise not to prepare the organization, not to prepare for it?
Well, it's funny. I've run into different responses from different people within organizations, and some organizations are a little more paranoid about somebody from the outside looking over their shoulder or asking them what they do. By and large, though, most are so busy that if you say, hey, there's no homework, we're just going to have a discussion, you don't need to produce files. You don't need to create stuff or whatever. They're kind of relieved. and yeah. Right. Some will ask for the checklist. You know, what kind of questions are you going to ask about? And this is what I'm going to ask. To what extent do you do halt testing, and what do you do with it? And, oh, okay, we can talk about that. So some people feel more comfortable. What is this about? Why am I in this discussion? You know, what's the purpose? Others are more curious about, well, what kind of questions are these and how are you going to use them? And others are, oh, reliability stuff. Yeah, I love talking about that, or don't, you know, and,
right.
And they just go for it. So part of the preparation, and I'm going to back up about two steps, is the preparation really centers on who you're going to talk to. I mean, you could walk in and talk to the receptionist all day long, but you're not going to learn a whole lot about product development reliability programs. What I've typically done, I was in the right place at the right time, I guess, and at Hewlett-Packard, and we had about 50 divisions. And my boss said, so what's the state of all of the reliability programs in those divisions? Go check it out. Go spend a day with every organization. And so for about almost a year, I would call up an organization. I kind of made them so the travel was convenient. And like in Roseville, I spent a week up there and talked to a bunch of different organizations. It was a big HP site. And I would call the general manager of the division, and almost every time got their admin. And they would know exactly who I needed to talk to. I say, hi, I'm Fred. I'm from corporate. I want to get an assessment of your reliability program. Who should I talk to that knows the reliability program? Now, sometimes it was the reliability manager. Very few organizations had that. Sometimes it was director of engineering. Sometimes it was director of quality or some title. And the admin would put me in touch with them. I'd explain what I'm doing and what the benefit for them was. More now, when I get clients asking me for it, they're self-motivated. So usually it's the person calling me is my contact. And I say, in order to do the assessment, I need to talk to about 8 people, give or take a few. I need to talk to an electrical and a mechanical engineer. Design engineer that's gone through the process a couple of times. You know, the guy that you hired last week won't know what you do. And managers, usually a mechanical or electrical manager or something similar to that. It depends on the product and what they do. And sometimes I'm talking to software people. Sometimes I'm talking to, they outsource everything. So it's more of a procurement organization. But I also want to talk to a quality engineer or somebody that has those duties, to a procurement engineer or somebody that has those duties, and to a reliability manager, quality manager, if you have somebody like that. And then it varies on the organization. I almost always try to get a hold of somebody that either works closely with their contract manufacturers, their manufacturing side, or if they do internal manufacturing, to their manufacturing manager, manufacturing engineer, right? But it's heavy on the design team. And because that's where reliability happens by and large. And then it's the support functions of quality, procurement. Sometimes I've asked to talk to marketing, depending on how integrated they are with the perception of the product. It's a discussion with my contact there to figure out who would be the right people to spend an hour with that would represent the various views of their reliability program. And then the hard part is scheduling all the meetings and just trying to get it all within a day or within 2 days. Just if I'm traveling, it makes it more convenient. It's much more effective doing it face to face. It can be done over the phone. It's more difficult. You don't get as much richness of information in your phone. The other key part, right from the very start and very first time you start, you write out those invitations basically to the people you're interviewing, is that it's not an audit. It's not a, are you worthy kind of discussion. They're not being tested. It's a, like you said, it's a look at a character, at what you do. There's nothing wrong with what you do. There's almost always opportunity for improvement, to build on your strengths and to improve some weaknesses, to, if nothing else, make it more efficient or improve your reliability program. And I've only had one person out of, I don't know, a couple thousand I've talked to that said, no, I don't want to talk to you. Mm. Everybody else was, you know, we do reliability, and someone would admit, you know, we know we don't know enough. Others will say, we're really good at this. We don't need an assessment. Well, let me learn from you then. And then they let me in.
Right.
And so it's picking the right people, but then right from those early communications is make it safe. This is not a punitive audit. This is not an interrogation. This isn't there's no right answer kind of thing. And we're going to spend an hour. We're going to talk about how you guys do reliability. And that's vague enough that very few people are terribly concerned about it at any point. And then it's line up the schedule and arrange to get face-to-face with them and sit down and do the discussions, which would be a topic for how to actually conduct those interviews.
Yeah. And the thing is that you can get a very good indicator of if you've clearly communicated that it's an assessment, not an audit, by that response of welcoming or defensiveness, right?
That's right. And that's the right. It's you got to make it safe because, like you said, is we're trying to get a picture of what you do. And I've heard it. I had one guy, and he was a marketing manager. And I say, to what extent do you set reliability goals? Oh, 100% all the time. Every program, every product, every subsystem has a solid goal. And I already talked to like 7 people in the organization, so I really knew that really wasn't true. And I said, to what extent do you do XYZ? 100% all the time has to be done, blah, blah, blah. To what extent do you do finite element analysis of, you know, physics of failure model? The rest of the team hadn't even heard of physics of failure. Mm. And he was like, 100% all the time. It's built into our system. We always do it. So after
that. Wait, this guy worked in marketing?
Yeah. So I stopped him right there and I says, hey, look, here's my notes from everybody else. You know, this is BS. You pardon me. What do you really do? This is, you know, I had to back up and say, now what were, this is, I'm here to help. Right. I'm here to get you a picture of what you do today and where you could make improvements. If you're 100% always doing all of those things, that's a completely different picture than what I've heard from everybody else. So are we in the same organization here? You work with these same people? thing. So then he relaxed. He started breathing and answering the questions more openly. But by and large, most people are happy to talk about what they do. And it wasn't ever an evaluation of what their job duties were. It was usually seen as an adjunct or an extra to what they already should be doing. Mm-hmm. So, and so it schedule it, and you know, depending on the organization, they may or may not work. It depends on how busy they are and how frantic and panic they are and things like that. But by and large, you get to talk to enough people, maybe do one or two makeups. And that's the prep, is help them understand it's only to gather data so that we collectively, you the organization and me as the assessor, have a clear picture of what it is you do today, such that you get the results you do.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to think if there was anything else. It was pretty much the process. And it was really finding somebody that, usually a director level, that understood who the key people were in the different parts of the organization.
So it sounds like the preparation on the organizational side is simply an awareness of realizing that you're there to help and not to judge.
That's right.
You know, and you know, that sounds like the preparation that if you were to advise, you know, a director who's bringing you in, how can I prepare people so that this is effective? That would be the message. Help them understand that I'm not auditing them, that mm-hmm. the more I truthfully get to assess what they do and what goes on, the better we can advance them.
That's right.
So I think that's it. That's the preparation.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's make it safe. It's yeah. probably the big thing. All right. Well, that sounds like a good spot to wrap it up. This is, as we laid out a quick outline here for our discussions, is really broke this out into three parts. So look for us in our next episode in, well, how do you actually conduct the interview? How do you start the interview? How do you ask the questions? And then the follow-up and the probing and the checking consistency, those kinds of things. Again, it's about safety, but we'll get into that into the next episode. And then we'll do a third session on, what do you do with all that data? How do you make sense of all of these discussions that happen? And that'll be a third in our mini series here. All right. So with that, let us know if you're, you know, have done an assessment or have had one done, not an audit, and how did it go? What kind of preparation did you have to do? And what was the purpose of the assessment? Those kinds of things. We'd be very interested in that. And there's plenty of different ways of doing assessments, having like the ISO 9001, which I guess is more on along the lines of an audit, but you might have an assessment to see if you're ready for the certification body to come in and see where you're at. It would be similar to what we're talking about here, but there's lots of ways to do these things. And we're going to outline just one way of doing this, but I'm very interested in, Adam, I suspect you are too, is, you know, how other people approach this. And so we'd be interested to hear that. We're over at reliability.fm, and you can find the Speaking of Reliability show and plenty of places to leave comments or send us a message, and we'd love to hear from you. So with that, Adam, let's wrap it up here and come back next time and talk about conducting an assessment.
Sounds good.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.